be a different story and the price will be different. So, and also munabada that you throw me something and I throw so you something, and now this will be the transaction. Okay, I don't look to it. Exchange watches. Okay, you give me your watch, I give you your watch, you throw it to me, I throw it to you, and this is it. Okay, or you throw this here, I throw this here, and you get what I throw to you, you get what I throw to you. Okay, throwing things to each other. All these forms of transaction is forbidden in Islam. Hadith number 674. وعن طاووس عن ابن عباس رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا تلق الركبان ولا يبيع حاضر لباد. قلت لابن عباس رضي الله تعالى عنهما ما قالوا لا يبيع حاضر لبادي؟ قال لا يكون له سمسارا. متفق عليه واللفظ البخاري. اوكي حديث is authentic and حديث in the collection of الامام البخاري as well as امام مسلم that رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم he forbid and he said what the meaning is don't go out to meet the riders out of town or out of the city limit. Any person who from the city is not supposed to sell for a person out of the city or out of the place. As example, here I'm coming from Africa with all this what you call combs made out of the elephant
ivory tusk. Yeah, ivory.
Okay, and I don't know, you understand, what's this in America, what is the value of it? Okay, here you come, you understand, you know that I'm coming, and you go, as soon as I come out of the ship there in Charleston, you come and say, how much, man, I give you $100 for all these combs. Okay, 100 combs for $100, and here, I don't know, a dollar is something big for me in Africa, so I took $100, I'm so happy. This man will take it and put it in his antique shop, selling each comb for $1,500.
Yeah,
$1,500. $1,500. You see the wind? You see? So, and here, because I didn't know what's going on in America. So this is what you call hadar libadi. A person living in the city, and this is libadi, is a desert man coming out of the city. He doesn't know what's going on. And now I go and catch you out of guard, give you a price, and you think you got a good deal, you give him and gone. You're taking advantage of him.
Suppose you gave him a fair price, though. Could you,
Give him a fair price.
Yeah, if you gave him a fair price. Like, let's say the phone was over $1,500 a piece, and you gave him $1,000 a piece for each one of them. Could you do it? Could you do it?
Is that a fair? If it's fair, let him come in town, get to know what is the going on price, okay, and he knows it goes between $1,300 and $1,500. Now, if he won't sell it to you for $1,200, now it's okay. But don't take advantage of him for him being not knowing the price. You see? And you know that if he come inside, he will get a higher price for it. And for sure that everybody will be jumping together, you get it, okay? So now by seeing him or selling somebody out, okay, and giving you idea what is the going price or whatever and try to convince you to sell to him, you could not do this. You see, by any means you could not take advantage of Muslims, okay? And let the people get to know what is going on. Let them come in town and see what is the going on price, and let them after this make their decision if they want to make it, sell it for retail or wholesale or give it to you, whatever it is. But as long as he is not being deceived or he doesn't know what's going on, later on he will feel sorry about the transaction that he did. And this applies to understand if it's food, if it's animals, if it's antique, whatever it is that you bring in from out of town. This also again to show you how the Islam concerning about protecting the property of the Muslims and not to let people take advantage of each other. Next hadith, which hadith number 675, عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا تلقوا الجلب فمن تلقى فاشترى منه فإذا أتى سيده السوق فهو بالخيار. Hadith in collection of Imam Muslim, reported by Abu Huraira. Hadith is authentic for sure. That Rasulullah said, don't go out to meet what is being brought to the market for sale. If anyone has meat, so and some of it is bought, when its owner comes to the market, he has a choice of canceling the deal or keep it. The persons that we usually they send out to bring the business to the town and things like this, okay, like the right hand this or the slave person or whatever it is. So now if somebody goes and brought this item to the market and somebody have a deal with him, now it's up to his master when he come later on, okay, because this slave man, he doesn't know what is going on, and somebody did this, now it's up to his master or the, like what you say today, what you call this, the manager or the supervisor, the owner of the company, to let the deal go or he can cancel it, okay, due to unfairness happening in the transaction.
What's the difference between right hand
possession? I think right hand this is for the female, if I'm not mistaken. This from the top of my head now, this is not okay.
What's the difference between a female slave and a right hand possessor?
Okay.
Says barak or, you know.
A right hand this and a slave?
Yeah.
Okay, as I said, what I, if I'm not mistaken, and Allah knows best, that the slave is a male member, okay? Right hand with this, usually this term used for the female slave. If anybody knows something different or better, let me know. This is the English term, I'm not expertise in English, okay? Then in the usage of both of them, and I'm sure you are not asking about this, you talking about the terminology.
The term right hand possessed might indicate that they have some kind of intimate relationship with the person.
Okay, is this what I say, the difference in the usage?
Because they're called female slaves and male slaves, that's why I'm asking about.
And male?
Female slaves and male slaves.
Okay,
so
the right hand with this is a female,
yes,
that's what I'm saying,
yes, yes, yes.
Because but she's still a slave,
yes.
That means the man, he bought it,
mm-hmm.
he owned it, he got it out of jihad, the booty,
yeah,
the spoils
right.
of the war. But he have to, he has the right mm-hmm. to be with her intimate. But the slave male, he works for him, he do everything for him, but he could not be intimate with him. Okay? So, but this is a, I said the usage is different, or the way how to serve is different, but why the terminology, this is the way that I understood it.
Is it similar to concubine then?
The same thing, is different term in English also. Mm. Concubine or right hand business,
okay.
or forgot what the other term. Next hadith that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, naha Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam an yabi'a hadirun libadil wa la tanajashu wa la yabi'u ar-rajul ala bay'a akhih wa la yakhtub ala khitbati akhih wa la tas'al al-mar'atu talaqa ukhtiha litakfa'a ma fi ila'iha. Muttafaqun alayh. This hadith which reported by Abu Raira, and the hadith is authentic, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam again forbidden a person who lives in town to sell to a person out of town. Okay? That because I know the price, okay, and you don't know the price, so I shouldn't be taking advantage of this. This is one situation. And the second one, tanajush. Okay, that making a bid over the price that I'm about to let the product goes for. Selling this book for $5, and after this somebody jump out of nowhere and say, I'll give you $7 for it. Okay? And also, the person is not supposed to make a bargain over his Muslim brother. Bargain. And a woman is not supposed to ask her husband to divorce her co-wife so she can have her place. Okay? So she can have all the nights, she can have the whole house, or she can have, you understand, whatever it is. So now that you have to care for the other Muslim sister, the same way that you have rights, she have rights, and you have needs, she have needs. So don't try to provoke your husband and make things against her to make her life miserable until he come to a conclusion that you have to divorce her. So now you have the plate by yourself, like two people eating in a plate, okay? So you try to push this person out, so now he leave, so now you're eating almost in the plate for you. So it's an expression, you understand? That now she left, he divorced her, so now you're eating everything. You're getting everything in the plate by yourself. This is not proper, okay? All these things is forbidden in Islam. The next hadith, let's see, this hadith number 676, the hadith we just talked about is that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbade a towner to sell for a man from a desert, went to bid against another, a man to buy in a position to his brother, to propose a woman after his brother. No, I jump. Is it a man to buy in opposition to his brother to propose a woman after his a woman?
Why a
woman?
Propose to a woman. There should be a female.
Okay.
To propose to a woman.
To propose a woman.
No, to propose to a woman after his brother has done so.
Okay, to propose to a woman, yes, after
his brother has done,
that means, mm-hmm, that he already made intention and they agree. I skipped this in my explanation. So if a Muslim went and made intention or proposed to a sister and her guardian and the sister agree, but there is a waiting period because they are not ready or he don't have the dowry, whatever it is, so somebody come and take advantage during this waiting period and come and go make a proposal over the proposal of his Muslim brother. This is forbidden also, okay? Or a woman to ask to have her sister divorced, that means her co-wife, okay? In order to deprive her of what belongs to her. The same thing again, but this other narration say a Muslim must not offer a price above what offered by another Muslim brother. Hadith number 677 عن أبي أيوب الأنصاري رضي الله تعالى عنه قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول من فرق بين والدة وولدها وولدها فرق الله بينه وبين أحبتي يوم القيامة. عليكم السلام. This hadith is a collection of Imam al-Tirmidhi and al-Hakim and Ahmad. The hadith is authentic, reported by Abu Ayyub al-Ansari that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, if one of you separated a mother from her child, Allah will separate him from his beloved ones in the day of the judgment. Okay? As example, if a person have two slaves, excuse me, my foot is sleeping, okay. If he have two slaves and both of them are brothers, or a mother and her baby, this in his position, that he's not supposed to go and sell the mother without the baby, or selling the baby without the mother, okay? Because this will be separation, and that the child need his mother. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the one who does this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will punish him with something similar in the day of the judgment, that he will separate it between him and his beloved one in the day of the judgment. Alaykum as-salatu Allah. Alaykum as-salatu Allah. Okay, akhi, we get back at 8:30 inshallah. Assalamu alaikum. Inshallah, we continue with our class. Last hadith. Concerning separation between mother from her children. I think this is the last one that we mentioned. The next hadith is hadith number 678 عن علي بن ابي طالب رضي الله تعالى عنه قال أمرني رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أن أبيع غلامين أخوين فبعتهما ففرقت بينهما فذكرت ذلك للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال ادركهما فارتجعهما ولا تبعهما الا جميعا. حديث نمبر 678 حديث ريبورتد باي علي ابن ابي طالب. ذا حديث بيج نمبر 284 ذات رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم had command me to sell two brothers. I sold them and I separated between them. When I made mention of that to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said, "Find them out and give them back, and don't sell them but together." Again, it shows that you're not supposed to be separating between the two brothers, which is similar to the hadith before also, and the master has the right to sell his slaves, but he doesn't have the right to separate between both of them and to keep them together or to sell them together. Hadith number 679, page number 284. وعن أنس بن مالك رضي الله تعالى عنه قال غلا السعر في المدينة على عهد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال الناس يا رسول الله غلا السعر فسعر لنا فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إن الله هو المسعر إن الله هو المسعر. القابض الباسط الرزاق واني لارجو ان القى الله تعالى وليس احد منكم يطالبني بمظلمة في دم ولا مال. حديث reported by Anas and the hadith is authentic and the hadith in collection of Imam Abu Dawood, At-Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah, ابن حبان. ذات in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the price of things went up, things became expensive. So the companions came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam complaining about people in charging too much money for whatever sale they selling, and they ask the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to put a price on things, to make a fixed price for things. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who fixes prices, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the withholder and the giver as well as the provider. Allah is the one who fixes prices. Allah is the one who extend, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the one who withhold. Allah is the provider, and I hope not to do so, I don't want to do so, because I want to, when I meet with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the day of judgment, that nobody have an argument against me or a claim against me in anything concerning money or property or blood or anything like this. Okay, so this is shows us that fixing the price in things is not permissible, and this is not even the right of the ruler, and this is supposed to be left up to the people, because if the people sell the price, put the price, reject the price high, nobody buying from them. Okay, but it have to be like a free market, and the people they go wherever they feel that is a better price. Okay, but we have to make something very clear here. As long as the item is not a necessity now of the life, and as long as the person is not the only person selling this in the city or in the town, as example, let's give example by halal meat. Let's say that only one person selling halal meat in whole Columbia, South Carolina. Okay? So since he's the only one selling halal meat, and he's in a community that they believe that the zabiha of the people of the book is not halal, so he knows for sure that everybody have to come buy from him. So now he's taking advantage of this, and the pound of the beef in the state is $2.25. Now he's selling for $5. You see? Now you could not do this. Why? Because now there is no, if there is more than one person selling halal meat, now we can let you jack your price up as much as you want. Because if you're selling it for $10 while somebody else is selling it for $3, for sure nobody is going to come and buy from you for $10. Okay? But the volume, okay, is it any better? No. Okay, what about now? Okay, this is as far I can do the volume.
Oh, huh? You wanted it up or down?
Yeah, he wanted it up. Okay. So also that this product that what you're selling is not a necessity of the people, like salt as example, okay, or water, drinking water or whatever it is. So this is considered a necessity of life, and adding to this, if you are the only one selling it, now you could not fix the price so high. And in this time, the ruler have to interfere and they set a regular and set a price which can be fair for you as well as the consumer. وعن معمر ابن عبد الله رضي الله عنه تعالى عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لا يحتكر إلا خاطئ. This hadith in the collection of Imam Muslim. The hadith is authentic, reported by Muammar ibn Abdullah, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, none keeps goods till the price rises but a sinner. Okay, now he go and buy all the rice in the market. Okay, and how he keep it for a couple of weeks until he make sure any retail store they sold out, they have nothing. Now the only one has rice is who? Is him. Now he's going to do what? He's going to raise the price up. Okay, so again this is called muhtakir, a person who take advantage of the people condition, holds whatever product that he got until nobody else have it. So it's another trick, another way, you understand, how he can be the only one selling this, and the people need it, so the people have no choice except to buy from him. So anybody who do this, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, he's a khati, he committing a khati'ah, he committing a sin. Hadith number 681, page number 285, وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لا تسروا الإبل والغنم فمن ابتاعها بعد فهو بخير النظيرين دع الأعداء أن يحلبها إن شاء أمسكها وإن شاء ردها وصاعا من تمر متفق عليه ولمسلم فهو بالخيار ثلاثة أيام وفي رواية له علق البخاري ورد معها صاعا من طعام لا سمراء قال البخاري والتمر أكثر is authentic the hadith that people they will go and play a trick with the animals and they will hold the milk inside the breasts of the sheep or the camels so when the buyer come to buy this camel or this sheep and will see all this milk the breast full with milk they will think understand that is a good milking cow or a good milking sheep that this is something like every day but he been holding this milk inside for 2-3 days okay by tying the nipples of the animal now or not because the animal has no way to get the milk out if the farmer didn't milk it okay so the milk start accumulating 2-3 days and now after this you take it to the market and everybody will see it okay like this now he say he's getting a good bargain okay so Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbid people doing these tricks to their animals and let's assume that somebody been deceived by this and he bought it in this condition but 2-3 days later he don't found because as soon he milk it the second day is no milk okay or what comes is little the third day is not or little now he knew that he already that somebody had played tricks on him okay so Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said after this if you found that you've been tricked you are has a choice you can keep this animal or you can return it back to the seller okay although that he gone to his house already and you went to your house already a day or two or three is gone but still you have the choice to keep it or to return it back
is the seller supposed to refund you your money
yes he have to okay because he tricked you okay but here Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying that a person should return it with isa' from tamr okay like filling your hands 4 times with dates okay because you had used this milk so you turn you could not put the milk back in the animal or the milk been drunk already so you give him something in return of your use of this milk which is a saw a measurement from a dates again the hadith shows us that this manners and these ways of cheating is not supposed to be done because this is un-Islamic. The next hadith, hadith number 682 عن ابن مسعود رضي الله عنه قال من اشترى شاتا محفلة محفلة فردها فليرد معها صاع again the same meaning that if anybody had bought a goat whose other has been tied up, and he returned it, he must return with it one saw. Okay? From dates or food. Okay? Because he had used this milk. Hadith number 683 عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم مر على سبرة من طعام فأدخل يده فيها فنالت أصابعه بللة فقال ما هذا يا صاحب الطعام؟ قال أصابته السماء يا رسول الله. قال أفلا جعلته فوق الطعام حتى يراه الناس؟ من غشنا فليس منا. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, in this hadith which reported by Abu Huraira and the hadith in the collection of Imam Muslim, the hadith is authentic, that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was walking in the marketplace and he saw a pile of food, and the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he stick his hand inside this pile of food and he felt weakness inside, and he questioned the owner of the food. He said, what was wrong with your food? Why is weak? Say, oh Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was raining. Okay, it happened as a result of the rain. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, so how come you didn't put it in the tub of the food outside, okay, not inside, so the people can see it, they can see the defect, they see the damnness or the weakness in the food. And after this, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told him, man ghasha falaysa minna, that whosoever deceives, he's not one of us, he's not part of the Muslim community. Okay, so trying to show your brother in a way and hiding the defect, okay, is not Islamically. It's not Islamically. It doesn't matter if it's a soap, it's a car, if it's a food. You are not supposed to hide the defect. You're supposed to be honest and truthful about your product. If the person want to buy it as is, alhamdulillah, he don't want, Allah will make a way for you, okay? But for you to deceive, this is no good, is no blessings in it. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying that such a manner is not the manner of the Muslims, okay? The deceiving. The next hadith, hadith number 684, I was not able to reach a conclusion concerning the authenticity of the hadith, so the hadith I'm going to leave it as is. Okay, but the hadith says, whosoever hold the grapes in the vintage
vintage season
till he sells them to those who get wine out of them, has hastily thrown himself into hellfire with a clear knowledge. Maybe somebody say, this doesn't need any information or any authenticity because you are not supposed to do so. Yeah, you are not supposed to do so, but did the Prophet utter the hadith or no? This is a different story, okay? But we understand that the Muslim is not supposed to be a means and assistance in anything haram by any means, even by advertising, okay, or by any means, or transporting the item. You are not supposed to be dealing with the haram, buying it, selling it, giving it, promoting, nothing, okay? But I left the hadith because, as I said, I was not able to search a lot about the hadith. So I don't know about the degree of the hadith, and I'm going to leave it. I say Allah knows best. Hadith number 685. عن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها قالت قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الخراج بالضمان. The hadith is Hassan. Aisha reported that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, anyone, any prophet goes to the one who bears the responsibility. Okay, okay. If I'm holding as example, I borrow your cow. Okay, so the cow in my position, and that you have to milk the cow every day, because if you don't do it, it maybe can be a harm for the cow. So as a result of the cow staying in your field, you have to use this milk. Okay, so since it is in your position, if something happened to you, you're going to be responsible about it. If somebody trusted you with something, you are responsible about it. Therefore became also that the profit of such things that you're holding is for you. Is this understood? Okay, so the holder is the person who benefit from what he is holding. Any profit goes to the one who bears the responsibility. That means while the thing in your position, you are responsible about it, and also you can profit the profit of it. As a result of this, if a person he bought something and he discovered something that the seller never had told him about it, he has the right to return this item and take his money back. And whatever the person used during this time will be his. He sold me a machine, but he didn't tell me that this belt or this what you call the fan as example is old and need to be done, and here I'm using it as a result of you not notify me about the problem with the fan. Okay, so now I'm using it, and I made you understand like two, three trips with this machine, and after this broke down, okay? But this happened as a defect of what you already in the machine is not supposed to be broken like this, you understand? So I already made couple $100 out of this machine, you see? But it claims also the problem that happened to the machine as a result of this defect that in the machine that he didn't tell me about it. So the person has the right to take it back to the seller, get his money back. So the seller will say, okay, what about you? Understand, you use it for 1 week, you made at least $200. Okay, so the $200 is not belong to the seller, is belong to the buyer. Okay,
what about if the seller did not know about the defect?
This is something different now. Okay.
I understand you the point you made, but what about if the seller didn't know of the defect?
If he doesn't know about it,
can it be returned to him?
It can be some kind of negotiation between both of them. Okay, if he's not aware about it. Yeah. حديث نمبر 686 وعن عروة البارقي رضي الله تعالى عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أعطاه دينارا ليشتري به أضحية أو شاة فاشترى به شاتين فباع أحد إحداهما بدينار. This حديث which reported by Urwa al-Bariqi, and the hadith is authentic, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives the Sahabi a dinar to buy a sacrificed lamb. And what the Sahaba did, he went and he bought two lambs, and he went and sold one with a dinar and came back to the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with a lamb and dinar. Okay, so here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he gave him one dinar to buy a lamb. So the person went and he bought two. He made a bargain, whatever, he got two. He was able to buy two for the price of one. And what he did, he sold one of them with a dinar. So he got his original money, plus he still have one lamb more, and he took it back to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So in case you understand what we understand from this hadith, the hadith is authentic, that you bought somebody in your behalf, to act in your behalf, in some kind of transaction. Now whatever he do, okay, now it be acceptable to you because he acting in your behalf. He's acting in your behalf.
Do you have the right to sell a second lamb?
See, he can sell the second lamb, but he have to come back again to
give you the money
with the lamb, okay? Because he sent him for a special mission to buy a lamb. So now he coming with two dinar, but this not what is been requested from him, okay? So now, but what you do as addition to what's been requested from you is a different story, okay?
What happened if he kept the dinar and gave you a lamb? Is this honest?
I don't know. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he blessed, he had made dua for him with the blessings for his transaction. So they said that this Sahabi became so good in business to such a degree, if he buy even the dirt, he will be making money in it. You see, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made dua for him. And this also shows you that how a person should be kind by trying to reward the people when they do good for him, and the minimum that you make dua for them, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had made dua for this Sahabi. Also that here, that was no any set limit for the Prophet, okay, and he acted in his own, and what he's supposed to buy for one, he bought two for one, he sold.